KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego County Toyota Dealers, offering a new 2025 lineup of vehicles at your local Toyota dealer, including a new Tacoma with turbocharged four-cylinder engines and a hybrid powertrain option. The San Diego County Toyota Dealers. We make it easy.
The views and opinions expressed in today's episode do not necessarily reflect those of the Port of Entry team and those of KPBS. Listener discretion is advised. Hey, ¿qué onda, friends? No Alan today. It's just gonna be me and you. I want to take you back to a time in my life when a series of small but significant moments shaped the way I see movies and magic. This story has dinosaurs, a sinking ship, and a serial killer. Yes, believe me, you want to stick around for this one. You see, during the formative years of my life, I had a series of epiphanies that would profoundly shape my future, and they all came from watching movies.
Oh, movie magic, John.
What's movie magic?
Let me show you.
All right, I want you to close your eyes. Hey, unless you're driving, of course. In that case, eyes on the road, please. I want to take you back to your very first memory at the movies. What can you remember? Maybe holding your parents' hand, the stickiness of the floor under your shoes, the overwhelming smell of popcorn, or in my case, jalapenos and nachos. Now, the theater goes dark. The curtain pulls back. The screen lights up. And then, that signature surround sound system vibrates not just in your ears, but right through your seat. And in that moment, you know something magical is about to happen. Can you feel it? Do you remember the first movie you ever watched? Well, I do. It was 1997. I was 3 years old, walking into the theater with my family. I looked down and saw tiny glowing lights along the stairs. And then, a loud, beast-like growl that I will never forget. Jurassic Park 2 had premiered at a movie theater in Tijuana that was a few miles from my house. I fell asleep through most of the movie, but every now and then, I would wake up to the sound of dinosaur roars and John Williams' booming soundtrack. I remember feeling shocked and amazed. It all looks so real. It's movie magic, my dad told me. And with that, I knew I wanted to be that sort of magician. I was hooked. Hollywood movies became a huge part of my life. Action flicks from the 80s and 90s, horror films, early 2000s chick flicks, and oh my god, I love them all. So much so that I eventually became a working actress myself. A magician, if you will. Just not on the big screen. Not yet, at least. Growing up, if I wasn't at the movies, I was renting VHS tapes with my siblings. And if those were all checked out at the video rental store, we would just watch whatever was playing on the two free Tijuana channels that aired movies. Every weekend, I would lose myself in cheesy Spanish-dubbed Hollywood blockbusters, slouching on the couch and glued to the TV.
Veo gente muerta.
Those moments were pure magic to me. My brother told me that movie magic was made just a couple of hours away in Hollywood. But the reality of a multi-hour border crossing and the special I-94 permits my parents needed as Mexican nationals made that short, 160-mile drive feel like a world away. Like movie making was something that only happened over there, del otro lado. Until one day, everything changed.
This is Popotla, estimated population 200, a small fishing village located on the Baja coast, less than 10 miles south of Rosarito Beach. In 1996, something big happened here that changed the face of this town. 20th Century Fox built a multi-million dollar state-of-the-art production studio.
I was about 8 years old, on a school field trip to Rosarito, just 30 minutes south of Tijuana. From the bus, I saw what looked like a sinking ship behind a massive gated lot and a banner that read Foxploration.
We were about to tour Baja Studios, previously known as Fox Studios Baja, which was an extension of 20th Century Fox at the time. This was one of the satellite studios where Hollywood productions were filmed to help reduce costs.
You know, seeing this location, you might think, did we just shift gears and are now bringing you a show about New York? Well, not so, folks. This only looks like New York, but it's not Hollywood either. So where are we at? We're still in Baja. This is Rosarito. These are the Baja Studios in Rosarito Beach.
Oh, Natalie, which films were shot there, you may ask?
Ah, just a little one called Titanic. As a matter of fact, that was the whole reason why Baja Studios was created, to meet the needs of that legendary James Cameron film. Other blockbusters like Pearl Harbor and James Bond's Tomorrow Never Dies were also filmed there, just to name a few.
After its peak, the studio opened to the public. Locals like me could explore movie sets and props from iconic films that were also filmed by Fox in other parts of the world.
I remember walking on the deck of the Titanic. Oh yes, that deck where Rose told Jack.
I'm flying!
It was magical. Standing there, surrounded by sets and costumes, it hit me. Movies weren't just made in Hollywood. They were made here too, just 30 minutes from home. That was my first epiphany.
A second one came years later. Whenever I watched a new movie, I loved checking out their behind the scenes and interviews.
Spade.
70 Apple, take 3. Park.
Set and background and action.
Hey, we'll talk in a minute. Thanks for coming by, huh?
The more behind-the-scenes footage I devoured, the clearer the picture became. The directors, the producers, the ones calling the shots, they were all men. It created this invisible wall in my mind, a feeling that the world of filmmaking I dreamed of wasn't built to include women like me. Until a serial killer showed me otherwise.
Hello, Halber Stram. Nice tie. How the hell are you?
Alan has mistaken me for this dickhead, Marcus Halberstram. It seems logical because Marcus also works at PNP and in fact does the same exact thing I do. He also has a penchant for Valentino's suits and Oliver People's glasses.
That's right, Mr. Patrick Bateman, the one and only American Psycho.
Okay, I might have been a little too young for the film. I was 14 years old, and don't judge me, you did it too, come on.
But watching behind-the-scenes interviews of the film with director Mary Herron confidently talking about her craft made everything click.
Well, I think there's a tonal thing, which I want. One of the things I liked in the book, I thought was very interesting in the book, was that it shifted totally abruptly from a social satire, comic scene, to something, you know, horrifying and upsetting.
Films are not just made by men in Hollywood. They are made by women, too.
Those two epiphanies shaped my path forward, giving me the courage to believe that a girl from the border could belong in that world. I chose to pursue that dream as an actor and have since become an experienced theater actress. No, I haven't made my movie debut yet, so, you know, I'm available. Wink, wink. And this is where my personal journey connects to a much larger one. The story of the trailblazing women we'll meet in the next two episodes.
Hi, I'm Marla Riola.
Hi, I'm Nicolasa Ruiz.
Hi, my name is Marintia Gutierrez.
In today's episode of Port of Entry, we chat with Marla Riola, Nicolasa Ruiz, and Marintia Gutierrez, three young women filmmakers that reached the heights of none other than the prestigious Cannes Film Festival. And on the next episode, we sit with Paulina Castro, a 17-time Emmy-winning TV producer from Tijuana who has paved the way for other creatives in TV.
Yeah, I remember trying to be a rebel and fighting the border patrols all the time, not wanting to put my, you know, my school bag in the machines they had. And if they were mean to someone, I would be, like, defending them because I was like, yeah, I'm a U.S. citizen. What are you going to do with me, like...
These remarkable women are not just making their mark as artists, but also breaking through gender barriers and redefining expectations as borderlanders. Join us in this two-episode special to hear their stories, the challenges they have faced, and how they are paving new paths in the TV and film industry and beyond. If this is your first time tuning in, we are speaking with shapers and visionaries of the borderlands. This is part one of Fronterizas Behind the Camera. Stay tuned! From KPBS, this is Port of Entry, where we tell cross-border stories that connect us. I'm Natalie Gonzalez.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Bilhau Plumbing, Heating and Air Restoration and Flood Services. Family-owned and operated over four decades, Bilhau has been serving the plumbing, heating and air, and water damage needs of the San Diego area since 1980. With their fleet of trained professionals, Bilhau has the ability to service all major and minor plumbing and HVAC emergency needs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Bilhau is committed to providing excellent service to their customers with transparent quotes and attention to detail on every job. Whether you're in need of an HVAC installation, plumbing, or water damage restoration in San Diego, they offer the convenience of scheduling an appointment over the phone, online, or through live chat on their website. Call 1-800-BILHOW or visit bilhau.com, because we know how.
Marla Arreola, Nicolasa Ruiz, and Marintia Gutierrez all grew up between the U.S. and Mexico border, and now they are telling stories that are set in this space. Stories that have catapulted the three of them all the way to the prestigious Cannes Film Festival in France.
Bienvenida.
Last summer, I visited Marla Arreola at her home in Tijuana. Marla is a film producer and a film production professor. She studied at Mexico City's Centro de Capacitación Cinematográfica, or CCC, one of the most prestigious film schools in Latin America.
Sí somos esos como otros creativos indispensables para la realización de la peli.
Marla sees her role as a sort of a dreamweaver, helping bring a director's dreams, ideas, and imagination into something real.
Quiero ayudarlo a que se haga, ¿sabes? Quiero hacer que exista lo que esta persona me está contando y compartiendo, ¿no?
One of those visions was Ángel.
La primera vez que lo vi, algo en su mirada me hizo pensar que Ángel era como un animalito. Un animalito que me podía matar.
This short film was directed by José Meléndez and tells the story of Lou, a young artist who unexpectedly falls in love with Ángel, a sex worker.
Por supuesto, déjame leerlo, ver cómo viene. Y la verdad es que ahí sí me emocioné tanto con el guión, me gustó tanto. O sea, si algo me enamora o me llama o me engancha mucho en la historia, es un sí automático, ¿no? Entonces yo la verdad... Ahí sí es la primera vez en mi vida que dije que sí a producir sin haber leído el presupuesto.
Marla felt instantly drawn to the story and agreed to produce it before reviewing the budget. And it was the right call. The film was screened in the short film corner of the 2024 Cannes Film Festival. That same level of connection, of letting yourself be completely moved by a story, is something Marintia Gutierrez also shares. But in her case, it isn't about producing someone else's dream. It's about crafting her own. From start to finish. You can sense her intensity even as she speaks about her connection to film. She could hardly contain her emotions.
From your childhood, when you realized that you had a connection with film?
Oh my God, I'm gonna start crying. Oh my God, that hit me right in the spot. Because I'm a few... blocks away from my grandma's house, but yes, watching movies as a kid, you know, way back when I was growing up, we had VHS, and it was like watching whatever you would have in your library.
In October of last year, I sat down with Marintia at a coffee shop in Tijuana. She currently lives in LA, but she was scheduled to fly out from here for a screening of her short film Ella Se Queda, or She Stays in English, at the Festival Internacional de Cine de Morelia in the state of Michoacán. That same short was selected for the Cannes Film Festival.
¿Podemos hablar?
The story is about Laura, a dancer from Tijuana torn between a grad school opportunity and unresolved feelings for her ex. A night out takes a dark twist when she meets a mysterious group of vampire dancers. This film debut took her deep into storytelling, both emotionally and technically, from writing parts of her life into the character, all the way down to editing each frame by hand, not using editing software, but the old school way using analog film.
Yeah, so I learned how to edit on a flatbed in college, and it was like an experience that I really liked. Of course, it's tedious, I remember.
This involved physically cutting the film and taping the strips together, scene by scene. It was a painstaking and deeply tactile process.
That's also why I want to keep continuing editing analogly, so I like can properly learn and keep learning and evolving how do we preserve film. Because I think this practice is, you know, not letting it die and also preserving it with what we have from the past.
That same level of care and emotional depth in storytelling also lives in the work of Nicolasa Ruiz. Nicolasa is a filmmaker from Mexicali, but now works out of Mexico City. Her short film, La Extinción de la Especie, or Extinction of the Species in English, was co-director with Matthew Porterfield, an American filmmaker who collaborates closely with her in multiple projects. The short film is about a young woman named Esther who wanders through Mexico City searching for connection and sense of self. The gritty realism and the quest for identity are consistently woven throughout her work.
Ay, toca ya nay.
Each piece provides an honest portrayal of the complexities of finding oneself in the middle of challenging circumstances. Even though Nicolasa's path has taken her deeper south into Mexico City, Nicolasa's storytelling still carries the spirit of the border region where she's from. We brought Marla, Marintia, and Nicolasa together on Zoom for a conversation about making films outside of Hollywood, what navigating the industry as young women is like, and to share their recent experience presenting their work at the Cannes Film Festival.
Hi, I'm Marla Riola. I'm a film producer from Tijuana. I also like teach like film production at like the film school here in Tijuana, and I have a nonprofit organization as well.
Hi, I'm Nicolasa Ruiz. I'm a filmmaker from Mexicali, and right now I'm living in Ciudad de Mexico. Well, I'm living here since 2020.
Hi, my name is Marintia Gutierrez. I'm a filmmaker from Tijuana, Baja California, currently living in Los Angeles.
Hello, girls. Thank you. Thank you for being here with me today, and thank you for accepting to do this interview for Port of Entry. Can you talk to me, whoever wants to go first, can you talk to me about how did your love for cinema begin? What was there a moment or experience that made you realize that this was your path?
Okay, so I guess my love for cinema started when since I was like a prior teenager, since I was little, I grew up like watching a lot of films and going to the cinema a lot. So I always thought about like the behind the scenes and how were like the scenes like filmed and how many people were needed like to work on each scene and like the production logistics. Like I didn't know how like it was like neither like how many people was needed. It was just like me wondering about that. And yeah, I love to watch a lot of films, and I did go a lot to the local cinema by my house. So I guess, since I was like, 10 to 11, around that time.
I can go next. So I think my love for cinema started when I was very young. I think my first memories as a kid were watching movies at home in our VHS. And yes, I very basic, but I really loved Disney movies when I was a kid. I loved animation. I thought it was like very, you know, visual imagery. And I remember so well, like the first time that I could, it was like the first time that I could like recognize how music could complement another thing so beautifully. And I remember watching Fantasia a lot. So I think that was like a very big influence on me, and how, you know, because in animation, it's obvious that it's like an artifice because it's not like real people, you know, like on screen, that that there was like a way of, you know, making images move. It was just like the very principle of, you know, how things could move on screen and create very interesting visuals was something that I think I was very curious about when I was, you know, growing up. And as I grew older, I think just the ability to make images was very striking to me. And I got into photography, and, you know, it was all about the still image that made me realize that, you know, in filmmaking, you could make so many images and you can accompany that with so many other elements that, yes, made me love the medium so much.
Did growing up next so close to Hollywood influence your love for cinema or your perception of cinema?
I think in my case, it did. Because I think Marintia was saying earlier that I remember like not having cable in my house for like, I don't know, it was very rare when we had cable. So we had just like the, you know, like regular free television. But I remember we had like three channels from the US, and I remember watching like after I think it's elementary school, secundaria, Judge Judy or Saturday Night Live or Late Night or Conan O'Brien. I was a huge fan, and also I remember watching Canal Cinco, and of course the curaduría, like the main. So there was like only like anime and movies from Hollywood. So I think it influenced, in my case, I had a lot of influence by a lot of Hollywood influence in my life and in my early years, like as growing as a kid, you know, like watching these channels, free channels. And also, of course, like as I mentioned earlier, I was born in LA and I have family there. So I remember going there a lot, but I never thought of it as, I never thought of Hollywood or LA like as this like they make this they make movies here. I thought it as something else, because, and I never imagined as a kid that I could be a filmmaker, because I thought it was like something from another world. Like I thought it was like science. For me, cinema was not something that I could, like, I didn't imagine the possibility of being a filmmaker as a kid. And I remember, because my dad is a painter, but I felt really alienated by paintings, like by by his paintings and painting in general or art in general. So I felt like I was more connected to cinema because it could speak to me in a way that paintings or other art forms didn't do for me. So I think I had a lot of influence from Hollywood, like growing up, like as a kid.
Can you share with me some of the challenges of doing film? Whether if there are any specific challenges as a woman in the film industry, or in general, some of the challenges that you face, that you have faced during the years doing film?
Well, I guess the main thing would be like financing, like getting like the secure finance for like producing your film, like getting like each stage like finished. So it's like a big thing, even if you're in any part of Mexico that you are. And if you're in Baja, it's even harder than if you were in Mexico City, to be honest, but because there's more like funds. And there's more like even private funding available, like in the main Mexico City area of our country. But yeah, I think that I would say that. And regards like being a woman or being like young, I mean, it does have like its main issues, like I guess as anything in the world, like being a woman would be. So, I mean, you do have to fight against, like, the same standards, like, getting against, like, older men and, you know, like, patriarchy and, you know, like, machismo. But, I mean, yes, like, being in the position of, for example, in my case of being a producer, I mean, it does kind of help sometimes. You still find yourself, like, going against this type of, like, cases and people. But you do have like more opportunities to get like advantage, you know, than like to get ahead of that type of situations. Sometimes, like not always.
Nicolasa, you were saying in Spanish that some of the challenges that you find are that that you live in Mexico City and that you are creating scripts and cinema, thinking about characters from Baja California and not specifically from Mexico City. Can you talk about that, what you remember about that? Can you mention? Because that was very important.
Yes. Well, the cinema that I envisioned for me, like the cinema that I'm more motivated to do is the cinema that I mean... The ideas that I have are ideas that I had when I was living in Mexicali. Like a lot of, I started my first short film is about my dad and the desert. The landscape of the desert is very important for us, for my dad and me. It's something that I don't know. The desert, the landscape is something that is very influential in our work. And my second short film is Obachan, and it's about the grandmother of one of my best friends, and she was from Japan. She arrived in Mexicali when she was 21. And my first feature film is about these teenagers that are growing up in Mexicali. And I remember, this is a very personal story for me. All the ideas that I have as a filmmaker are ideas that have to do with Mexicali, that have to do with growing up in Mexicali. They are influenced by the weather, by the summers in Mexicali. They are influenced by the sun that is almost like you go outside and you go blind because of the light of the sun, like the sun in your face, in your eyes, in your skin. I think I don't envision myself, and I don't envision myself making movies about Ciudad de Mexico or about anywhere else but in Mexicali. And I don't know why that happens, but it's something, it's like that. It's for me, Mexicali is like a infinite, like possible, there like the possibilities of doing something there are like infinite. Like, and it has to do with my emotional connection to the territory and to the city, to the people, to the accents, to the sun, to the weather, to everything, to the desert.
The three of you were at Cannes at the same time. I just learned that a couple of minutes ago. Can you share with me? You were saying something extremely powerful in Spanish, and if we can bring some of that, some things that you remember in Spanish that you mentioned about Cannes, if we can bring it to English as well. But how was the experience of being at Cannes and showing a project that you love so much and that you work so hard with? How was that experience?
So for me, I think it was a very, you know, important, but I'll be completely transparent. It was very daunting for me because it was the first time that I was showing a short film to the public in general. This was my first short film, and it was just, you know, sort of like a shock to the system to know that I was showing my work in such a big festival, one of the biggest of the world. You know, it was just very disorienting too, because, you know, I've never been there. I didn't know what to expect, and at the same time, you know, I unfortunately was projecting a lot of things that, you know, not that people were expecting of me or anything, but I think people were excited that a short of Baja and of Tijuana was in competition at this very prestigious festival or whatever. And I felt sort of like an internalized pressure because of that, because I know personally that I have a responsibility as a filmmaker to show the things that I want to say, even though they're very personal emotions, because as we were saying in Spanish, at least for me and Nicolás, it seems that, you know, our filmmaking comes from very internal places for us. But of course, they come in a very external way, right? Because in the end, the film is something that people see. It's a thing that's visual. It's a thing that you film in spaces that exist. So of course, it comes also with a political lens and a political stance, whatever you show, right? So, you know, I think I had I felt a very immense responsibility of, you know, showing Tijuana in a way. Not that I was I'm not saying that I was representing Baja or Tijuana. No, I of course not. But, you know, I was representing me in a way. So I think that's what I wanted to get to in Spanish, that I was representing myself and my background. And, you know, it's like stripping yourself naked to the audience in a way, right? So it was very, very, very daunting for me because, again, it was my first time doing that. And of course, you know, coming from, and it was funny that three, you know, projects of Baja California were there at the same time. That's, you know, in a way, you know, it's one of the biggest borders of the world. And, you know, we were saying how, I mean, I think we were talking about the percentages of filmmakers that are women, that identify as women or femme in Mexico, that it's like so low. But imagine the percentage of that being lower in Baja, of course, because it's like it's very rare that, you know, filmmaking is done there. So you know, with our context, and then, you know, the more social political context at large, with the ongoing genocide in occupied Palestine, was very much felt there, because it was like the first festival that was happening with the conflict. You know, like we felt the streets like sort of militarized, so it would like felt weird, you know, that we would also come from like a very, you know, violent border, and this thing was like, you know, in our faces all the time. So, you know, like I felt the responsibility, you know, augmented, because, you know, it's not only political for me, you know, in my own, you know, bubble of Mexico, but it's, you know, it's an issue that's at large. So I think that you know, that tenderized me even more.
Did you ever get any realization moment at Cannes where you, that was mind-blowing, like, how did I get here?
Like 24/7, like I, not to overshare, but I had like a mental breakdown at the Airbnb that we were staying at. We were like going, I don't think, Nicolasa, you were at the house. I think you all had already left, but I had like a total breakdown. I just couldn't believe it. I had to like scream into a pillow because it was just like unbelievable.
Nicolasa, Marla, did you get a what, how did I get here moment?
Well, yeah, for example, in my case, I produced the short film that was there. And in our case, we actually won Guanajuato Film Festival and Mexican short film. So we were invited, like all of the winners of that year, well, of the prior year, we were invited to be like at the short film corner, which is like on the March to Film part of the festival. So in this case, we did not have like a public screening like Nico and Marintia, but we were like in this, you know, it's like a corner or like specifically, and it has like different like, you know, like areas where you have like a computer access and you can watch the short film. So, I mean, even though we like didn't apply, so it was even more like, wow, like me, it was that moment like, okay, like this is real and this exists and it is happening and I'm here. So like, how did I get here? No, that was kind of the moment for me, because in our case, we were only allowed like to, we could only go like one person per project in our case. So I wasn't supposed to be there either way. So it was even more exciting because it was like a on an expected trip. So yeah, it was really like mind-blowing and like surreal and like a dream, because I never dream of that festival. So it was like kind of, yeah, like a unique experience.
Well, in my case, the short film that was invited, Extinción de la Especie is a short film that I co-directed with Matt Porterfield, and we were invited. We were in the official selection of Morelia in 2023, so they have the main short film competition in Morelia, and they are invited to the La Semana de la Critique to have like a special screening. And of course, when we were notified about like we were invited with our short film, it was great. Like honestly, it was such a I don't know, you know, like to have a work of yours like screening in Cannes, it's really something, no? It's really powerful. But I think it was more special because there was Marintia, there was Melissa Castañeda, who's a very good friend of mine. There was Marla, there was José Meléndez. He's also from Mexicali, from where I'm from. He's the director of the short film that Marla produced. And it was really like, I think it was really crazy. Like it was really crazy to be there, like the four of us and the five of us, like the all of us over there, like, and we're from Baja, right? Like to share that, to have, I think it was the first time for all of us in Cannes, and to have like the possibility to share that moment with people, you know, it makes it extra special, you know, like I remember
it was really
sharing,
unique, like all of us together, like, but finding out like all of us were going, it was like, wow, it's even more specific and special.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I remember we were sharing an Airbnb, right? Like we were like partying together and we were watching films together. I remember going to see like Leo Scarac's short film with Marintia, and we were like running to the screening because we were late. And all those moments were very, very like special in at least in my life and in my experience as a filmmaker. It's such a treat, right? To have the possibility to share those moments with people that are very important in your life and in your career. And I think that was like extra special. And Baja had like 3 short films over there. So yeah, it was huge. It was magical, to say the least.
We're going to close the interview with this thing that I'm going to ask, and whoever wants to answer that. Why keep doing film in times like this? And when it's so difficult, and why keep persevering doing this in times like this with a lot of technology, with a lot of socio-political issues happening all around the world, in times of a lot of mucha xenofobia en la frontera, in times like this, why keep persevering and keep doing film?
I mean, I'm going to be honest. I think it's a very difficult question to answer. I find myself like questioning the whole filmmaking craft in this climate, political climate, right? But at the same time, I try to remember myself that the reason that I'm making films is something that has to do with me growing up as a kid. Like as I mentioned earlier, like I thought this was like really this was not human, you know, like this was not something that normal people could do. Like for me, as a kid, I thought like only like scientists could do cinema. So when I realized that I could, like I had a shot, you know, like actually I can make films, I thought like, okay, that's what I'm going to do with my life. And that's what I want to dedicate myself to, you know, to make films. Making films are like for me, it's like a possibility to, they give me the possibility to understand the world that I live in, you know, like it's, because growing up, I was not very good at school. So cinema and television in general was the medium that I can understand the world through movies. I can understand the world through like soap operas, through TV shows, through everything. I can understand the human condition through the moving image, whatever you want to call it. So I think for me, like of course, in this political climate, I question myself all the time, like what am I doing and why even bother, you know, like if there's all this happening, the genocide in Palestine and the Trump in power right now, the ICE like deporting people and traumatizing people. And but I think it's really important for us to not forget that this is our medium, right? Like this is the medium that I find myself more close to. Like I can really understand the world through cinema, and I can and it's something, as Marintia said, to make films is a responsibility. So we better use that like privilege and responsibility to communicate what it's more important for us. And I think in my case right now, what it's more important about making films is to communicate that what's more important, like it's not even cinema that it's important or art. What is important is people. We are important as human beings, as people. So having that in mind, I think I I take my craft very seriously in that way. Like when I'm making a film, I'm talking about a specific situation, a specific time, a specific person, a specific character, right? So I have the responsibility to show something through that, and to say something through that, and to share my very own vision of the world, but at the same time is I don't know, it helps me to enjoy myself too, because that is very important to us as an artist and filmmaker, is enjoy yourself too. Enjoy what you do, and don't forget where you come from, don't forget the world that surrounds you. And I don't know, I said a lot of stuff over there, but that it's, yeah, it goes like that a little bit. I don't know.
Thank you so much, all three of you. Thank you for doing this, for taking the time to talk about this and about a lot of important things that you mentioned and that were very powerful, both in Spanish and in English. And yes, thank you. Thank you so much for it. I know it was more than an hour, and I appreciate that you stayed longer.
No worries. Thank you a lot for inviting us. And it was great, like, hanging. Well, like, you know, like connecting with all of you again after a lot of time. You know, it's like a year, kind of.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for inviting us. And yeah, I was happy to share all this stuff with you.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Bilhau Plumbing, Heating and Air Restoration and Flood Services. Family owned and operated over 4 decades, Bilhau has been serving the plumbing, heating and air, and water damage needs of the San Diego area since 1980. With their fleet of trained professionals, Bilhau has the ability to service all major and minor plumbing and HVAC emergency needs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Bilhau is committed to providing excellent service to their customers with transparent quotes and attention to detail on every job. Whether you're in need of an HVAC installation, plumbing, or water damage restoration in San Diego, they offer the convenience of scheduling an appointment over the phone, online, or through live chat on their website. Call 1-800-BILHOW or visit bilhau.com, because we know how.
I probably shouldn't have watched American Psycho at the age of 14, but viewing the behind-the-scenes interview with Mary Herron ignited my imagination. I believe that's the power of stories. They awaken and inspire something deep within us. Whether it's witnessing dinosaurs brought back to life on the big screen or reenacting a scene from Titanic with friends at a studio tour in Baja, these experiences convinced me that magic is something I could create. And that's exactly what Marla, Marintia, and Nicolasa are doing. In an industry where women still account for a small fraction of the directors in Hollywood and Mexico, they are forging ahead. In the latest annual report by Celluloid Ceiling, researchers found that women directed only 16% of the 250 top-grossing U.S. films in 2024. And just 11% of the top 100, showing no improvement from the previous year. Similarly, in Mexico, out of 240 feature films in production that same year, only 1 in 4 had a female director, and a mere 1 in 5 involved female cinematographers. Marla, Marintia, and Nicolasa each bring their unique genres, aesthetics, and styles to the table. Yet, they all confront an industry historically dominated by men. Nonetheless, they have successfully paved their way for their stories. Marla, Marintia, and Nicolasa are defying the daunting statistics stacked against them, proving that a film doesn't need to be produced in El Otro Lado or by a man to have a worldwide impact. This episode of Port of Entry was written and produced by Natalie Gonzalez. Adrien Villalobos is technical producer and sound designer. This episode was edited by Julio Cesar Ortiz Franco and Elma Gonzalez Lima Brandao. Lisa Jane Morissette is director of audio programming and operations. This program is made possible in part by the Corporation of Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people.
This project was also made possible with support from California Humanities, a nonprofit partner of the National Endowment for the Humanities. Visit callhome.org. Soy Natalie González. Nos vemos pronto.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Bilhau Plumbing, Heating, and Air Restoration and Flood Services. Family-owned and operated over 4 decades, Bilhau has been serving the plumbing, heating, and air and water damage needs of the San Diego area since 1980. With their fleet of trained professionals, Bilhau has the ability to service all major and minor plumbing and HVAC emergency needs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Bilhau is committed to providing excellent service to their customers with transparent quotes and attention to detail on every job. Whether you're in need of an HVAC installation, plumbing, or water damage restoration in San Diego, they offer the convenience of scheduling an appointment over the phone, online, or through live chat on their website. Call 1-800-BILHOW or visit bilhau.com, because we know how.